Welcome to Your Ultima Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hey there, welcome to Your Ultimate Life. This is episode 880. I'm so excited. I'm going to do a four-part series on what's really required to create this ultimate life we're talking about all the time. Your ultimate life, there at the bottom of the screen if you're watching. First of all, you're invited. Go there, www.yourultimatelife.ca, and get the stuff I have there for you. But here's why. Why would it matter to you? Well, maybe you're living your dream life. I don't know. I got this funny picture behind me of a cat in outer space, right? Someone asked me yesterday if I had pictures with cats, and I happen to have this funny picture of a kitty cat in outer space and a flying saucer and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. What is this beautiful dream life? What is that? I don't know. Do you know? When I talk to people about that, and I'm going to talk to some new, at least two new people today I've never met before. And I create my life, so I get to do that a lot because I love meeting people. And what you know what I love about that? I love exploring with people what they're doing, what's life like for them. How did they get where they are? And what are they creating? What are the possibilities that they see for creation? Because it's different for every person. I'm amazed. You know, we all have 23 chromosomes, and right, we're all people, and we all have hearts and lungs and stuff. But it's so wonderful, gratifying, exciting, just how completely different everyone is. How wonderfully unique. And so that means that your definition of the ultimate life, what you want for your life, what you really want it to be like, is different for every person. So you know what? I want to know what yours is. Now, I hear a lot of common themes when I ask that of people. People talk about wanting more time. People talk about wanting more money. People talk about wanting more freedom. They talk about health challenges. I want to be done with this health problem or this certain situation, a bankruptcy or a relationship problem or a heavy weight problem or a health problem, some kind of thing, right? And those are typical. But you know what? And they're important, and I don't want to downplay any of them. Money is important. Someone said, no, it's not everything, but it's right up there next to oxygen in the gotta haves. And I can't remember who said that. You might remember. But anyway, it is. We got to have rent and food and transportation of some kind wherever we are. And wherever you are in the world, maybe that's public transportation. In the U.S. and Canada, you know, you got cars and things. But wherever it is, you got to have that. Okay, I understand that. And you got to have all those things in order for life to even make any sense. But I want to go beyond that for a minute, because having all of that, all the cars you want, all the house you want, all the money you want, in being in perfect health and freedom to go do anything you want, I can tell you right now, those things alone don't create happy. They don't create that dream life. Now, if you've never had a situation like that, or you haven't had sufficient money or time or freedom or, you know, lack of health challenges, if you've never been in that situation, you might not believe me. You might say, well, you're just saying that. You're just saying that. But I have been where I had all that. And I know many people who have been there where they don't really need anything. They're in possession of their time, their calendar, their cash, their bank accounts, and those kinds of things. Yet happiness eludes them. They feel sometimes grindy. Oh, I gotta do, you know, there's so much to do. And maybe it's self-imposed. Or maybe they have stuff that they chose to do, but they're not enjoying it. They're not feeling connected to it. Now, that happiness, perfect, beautiful dream life, I call it the ultimate life. You know that. You've seen this. And I title this podcast, Your Ultimate Life, because I have that. And so I'm interested in giving it to you. But see, I can't for several reasons. One, I don't know what it is exactly for you. And even if I did, I can't give it to you. And here is the secret. The secret. So hold on to your hat. I can't give it to you because it's not a thing. The secret ingredient. Now, you remember Kung Fu Panda, right? Number one, where they had the dragon scroll and they did all this fighting and training and everything else to get to this dragon scroll. And the dragon scroll was a mirror. And in the mirror, you know, it was that you holding this person, you holding this scroll, reflecting on yourself, you are the secret ingredient. Now, in that case, it was to be the greatest warrior of Kung Fu to save the valley, whatever valley it was, somewhere in China. Now, there's the secret. You're the secret ingredient. Well, I can't give you you. Only you can give you you. And your life up to now has been a series of events that you have interpreted a certain way, and you have created yourself. You have lived into a story that you have. Now, I was reading a book yesterday about the Forum, the thing that Werner Erhard created many years ago that turned into Landmark, and then he sold it to his employees and a bunch of other stuff. But anyway, this was both a transcription of the multi-day, 4 or 5 day forum, and a lot of commentary on it by people who had attended many of them, and they were comparing and contrasting this work with the Book of Being, or the Work on Being by Martin Heidegger, Being and Time, and some other books. Now, Heidegger was a philosopher who wrote a lot about what it means to be. Anyway, my point is, and Erhard, in this live multi-day thing, was talking to many, many people, and he does, and it's a huge fat book. And I love reading it because it always brings up questions and thoughts for me, and I mull on them until it's useful and find things that really stick for me. And here's one of them. I'll give it to you right now. And it was this. It was, okay, you and I, we each have stories. He called it a racket. And that's a way of being that we have adopted for ourselves. And one of the rackets that I had and still shows up, it's a racket, and his idea is that you have it forever. Stuff happens to you, you adopt a certain persona and you have it forever. The key is realizing that it is a racket, and then you have some choices around it about maybe there's something else to do, and then you learn how to do that. And that's some of the breakthrough experience in this particular method of becoming self-aware. Anyway, the racket I have is not good enough. So because of a bunch of events in my childhood, doesn't matter what it is, I'm not blaming or excusing anything at all, but a bunch of things happened that gave me that I then adopted from that, I'm not good enough. So that was my racket. I'm not good enough. And why it's a racket is it's an adopted way of behavior. It always has a payoff. It always has a cost. And there's always some benefit in there for you. And there's more to it than that. But the benefit to me from the racket of not good enough was that I never had to really try all in, full on, because I was told a lot through punishments and different things that I wasn't good enough. And so, okay, I adopted the persona of not good enough. So that meant if I made mistakes, it was okay. Oh, I tried really hard. I really did. I ran out of time, or I just can't quite do it. I tried. And in living that racket, I got comfortable, right? Then it was okay. I was now okay because I am the not good enough. I have adopted the not good enough persona. And that meant that no matter how hard I tried, I expected to not quite make it, to not fail. I never get the gig. That was one of the phrases that I used about I never really accomplished the thing that I said I wanted to do, or I never get the promotion or the thing. And that was really operative in my life. I would try, and trying was a game. I would try really hard, and I would never need to go all in and lay it all bare, just completely vulnerable and do it everything the absolute best I could. Why? Because I was the not good enough, right? And that protected me. I had this conversation with part of my mind once, and there was a character on the stage in my mind called the Protector. And I asked him after a long multi-hour conversation, there were several of those characters. You know how you talk in your own mind to people. Maybe you don't. I do. One of them was called the Protector. And I asked him, what are you protecting me from? And he said, I'm protecting you from being nothing by doing nothing. And I sat and thought, it was completely unexpected. I didn't expect that. And the conversation was deep and in meditation and blah, blah, blah. But I thought about that and I thought, wow, being nothing means failing completely, being the total and absolute embodiment of not enough. And therefore I vanish, I die, I evaporate. That's the worst possible thing. Death, soul, spirit, body, everything vanishing, mean nothing. So I'm protecting you from that worst, most awful of fate by doing nothing. So the method of protection was don't do anything. Now, my life was full of doing, but what I examined is it was rare, if ever, that I totally went all in. And here's the reason, and this is all my racket, and I'm inviting you to think about yours, because we're going to talk about creating your ultimate life, and this kind of deep thought is required unless you're already living the absolute dream life you want. So doing nothing meant I didn't have to go all in. Not going all in meant I wasn't fully exposed. If I failed, that's okay. I'm already not good enough. I didn't really give it my best, and that's okay, because I'm the not good enough, right? And that message was imprinted on me. It doesn't matter how. I adopted it. It became my racket. And the payoff was it didn't matter if I failed. The cost was I was never fully expressive. I didn't express myself creatively fully. I was afraid to. I was afraid I would fail, took comfort in the not good enough, but I was protected from being destroyed by not achieving, right? So I know it's all convoluted and complicated, but it was makes and made perfect sense to me. So I thought about this racket business, and I thought, you know, in living a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, which are my words, I have to get rid of these. I have to understand the racket or rackets that I have, and I have to make a conscious choice to disidentify with those. I'm not that person. I may have been. I was that. Shakespeare said, 'Twas I, 'tis not I. Okay, I'm doing that. I'm not that thing. I am no longer not good enough. Wow, if I'm not good enough, and I'm going to choose, unlearn, discard that persona, that requires some things. One of them was that I have to go all in. I have to be willing to be humiliated or think that I'm humiliated, fail abjectly, not reach goals, and have no excuse that I fall back on. No persona, no not good enough or other expression of that. I have to get rid of those. And in one sense, that's terrifying. Ah! And another sense, it's completely liberating. Yay, I don't have to do anything anymore. I am free. 100% free. Free to do what? Free to be myself. My truest, deepest inner desire. All right, so that gets us to what today is. And this is about step one in creating your dream life. And that is a decision. Decision. You have to make a decision. A decision that you're going to, or that you are, creating life like you really want it. Not overlaid by rackets of old, or personas that you adopted, or things you think you're supposed to do. Now, you may look at some of the teachings you've learned, an upbringing you had, and say, you know what, that really is good. I want that. So I'm not saying discard everything you ever heard everybody say, except I am. So what if you discard everything you ever heard everybody say and then choose the things that you want? Well, what I did that. I erased my everything, who I thought I was, supposed to be, all that, gone. And then I said, now who do I really want to be? And then I chose, and I found that things that I was choosing, many, many things, came from stuff that I had learned in my childhood, from my community, from my church, from my country, from freedom, from, you know, my experiences of my life. But I chose them now for a completely different reason. It was no longer this is who I am from outside. It's this is who I choose to be from inside. And those choices also come with their own benefits and costs. The cost is you behave according to that. You behave and create and live and love according to that choice. So, but it's not really a cost because I choose it. I want it. I'm leaning into it. The benefit was weightlessness. So this kitty picture here is a kitty cat in outer space. Weightless, no heaviness. Life is light. Life is easy. Life is joyful. Life is up. Wow, what a joy. What a fantastic thing. Okay, so you need to, step one is to make some decisions. And in that decision, there's a lot of identification that you have to do of how you have been. What have I been doing? Who have I labeled myself? What limitations, what chains, what beliefs, what rackets, if you use the language from that particular thing? And what rackets am I running? Who am I pretending to be because I think I'm supposed to? Am I pretending to be a caring and loving person? That was one example that was in the book. A lady went through this whole dialogue and realized that she was pretending to be a very caring and loving person, and doing a really great job at it, because that was the persona that she had adopted. But deep in her own heart, she didn't actually know what she cared about. And that revelation allowed her to then decide what she really cared about. All right, so what does this have to do with creating a dream life? Well, you can't create a dream life if you're locked up in a cage, if you're buried under 40 tons of, you're supposed to do this and you got to do that, and I'm not good enough to do this, and I can't do this, and it's too late to do that. All of that stuff is just weight, rocks, piles of garbage, mediocrity, right? One of the things I have in my own North Star, which is a document, one of many documents that I've created to guide my own life, says, I am the ultimate catalyst. In a practical sense, I give encouragement, energy, encouragement, example, and permission to those ending addiction to mediocrity. Well, addiction to mediocrity is a really safe place. Everybody else does, you know, whatever. And if I just do pretty good and I'm not bad, and then, you know, that's a safe place to be. But it also costs you your heart, costs you your soul, it costs you your happiness, and it denies you expression and denies you your ability to really contribute all you can to the world. So the first part is making a decision. I'm going to explore what an ultimate life means. I'm going to dare greatly and experience deeply. What is it? What do I really want? Unfettered by all that other noise and nonsense. When people talk with me, at least about that, there's often a theme that comes up about, I love helping people. I love adding good to the world, giving back, lots of ways to do that. Now, that could also be programming, right? Something that you've adopted. However, there's some fundamental things about our physiology, both physical and spiritual, that supports that feeling. When we are in a situation of serving and giving and loving, we have neurotransmitters that feel really good, oxytocin among the rest. And that feel good is chemically induced in our bodies, and it's hardwired into us. Our spirits have the same kind of thing. When we act in love and service and kindness and we forget ourselves, we feel good. Abraham Lincoln said it this way. He said, when I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad. And that, duh, right? That, so there's a connection between how we're hardwired and how we behave, how it feels. And so when it feels good, it draws us to more of that. So step one in this creation, last episode was, let's have some fun. So let's make this fun. Step one in creation, visualize it, throwing off all the jackets and blankets and chains. Throw those all off. Now, me saying that doesn't let you do it. At least for me, it took a lot of introspection and work about identifying barriers and eliminating them, identifying false beliefs, rackets, as it were, personas that I had adopted and was very comfortable living in and believed in, identifying where they came from, that they weren't mine, and then making a choice to eliminate them. Or at least understand that they were there so I could make choices, conscious, intentional choices about who I was going to be. So the first step is a decision that you're going to go on that road. It's not even the actual work yet. Because here's what happens. When you start changing the circumstances, we all, you know, there's a saying, the devil you love or the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. Well, that's just an expression of the idea that when we're comfortable in a certain circumstance, it's easier to stay there than it is to go out on the unknown. Well, maybe that's true because, you know, the force of habits and that kind of stuff. But what else I know is it's also constraining. It costs you your authenticity. It costs you your creativity. And it costs the rest of us the joy of your unfettered presence. I see a saying sometimes that makes me really sad. People say, in response to the idea of being their authentic selves, they say, well, the world couldn't handle me the way I really am. Why would we think that? What would drive that thought? The world can't handle me. I've seen it a lot. And that comes from the idea that a person's afraid that they would be rejected or unloved or hated or ridiculed or something if they really were to express themselves fully. That's a sad place. It's never going to be true. There are always going to be people who don't like something about me or you, but they can't be given control of our lives. Well, they can be, but if we do, what are we doing? We're sacrificing our creativity and our talents and how we could add good to the world and have fun and everything else. I'm going to throw that away because we have a story that the world couldn't handle me the way I am. So I'm going to give you something that I have said before in other episodes. It is a way to find something that could be, I call it your MEO, most effective offering. How can you be in the world? So remember, step one is a simple decision. I am going to get rid of the blankets, get rid of the dampers, get rid of the chains, get rid of the old stories. I'm going to eliminate addiction to mediocrity. I'm going to choose to wander out into unsafe territory. Unsafe meaning it's new. And it might not, in fact, probably won't be at all like you expected. It's a decision to do that. Just, I'm going there, no matter what it costs or what it takes. And that's a scary decision. So I'm going to give you one exercise right now that might help you do that. You have a totally and absolutely unique life. There are three parts I want to talk about. Part one is the sets of skills you have. I belong to several masterminds, and I'm amazed at the people who I meet there, people who love education and how to help children in schools and how to change, you know, the behavior of kids and get them excited about learning. That's a lady I met the other day, and I have another friend who's also a client who's an artist beyond compare, one of a kind, world-class artist, and he has a model in his mind to help charities raise money for good causes. I love it. I love who he is and what he's about. And so his skill, he has a skill of being an artist. And that other lady has a skill of being a teacher. You might be an architect or an engineer or a lawyer or a businessman or an entrepreneur or a pizza creator, you know, a cook. We have on the TV upstairs often these cooking shows. I didn't have any idea there were so many, but it's a benign thing. Meaning it's not political and it's not offensive, but it's amazing about all the different things. So all these different chefs demonstrate all this ability. But the bottom line is you have a set of skills. They're things that you, for whatever reason, have learned to do. Some of those skills you may not enjoy. Some of them, lots of people have a skill they've learned. They go to work and they sell that skill in the marketplace and they don't enjoy their life. That's sad, but it's true. So I'd like you to think of five skills that you have that you do like. Things that you could sell in the marketplace. Example for me, I like the piano, music. I taught piano for 40 years, from the time I was 17 to about 57 or 58. I quit about 10 years ago. And I taught a lot of other music stuff, vocal, you know, singing and improvisation, jazz improv, and a bunch of other stuff associated with music. So that's a skill I have. I love it, love it, love it. Now, I wouldn't redo all of those to sell in the marketplace, but I love that about music. You know, it's another skill. I'm a recording engineer. Self-taught for decades. I started in the early 80s, so 40-something years. I've been honing my skill as a recording engineer, taking classes and, you know, watching people and paying for a lot of really good instruction. So but self-taught as a recording engineer and love it. Okay. Another thing, a skill that I have is I'm an author. I know how to write. I write well. I write descriptively. So that's a skill I've developed. Okay. And another skill I have is I speak. I'm a good speaker from stage and storyteller and that sort of thing. So, you know, whoopee for me, I'm inviting you to think of four or five skills that you have that you know you could or already have sold in the marketplace. Put those on a list. I want you to make a second list. A second list is gifts, things that you're just naturally good at. Maybe there's obvious ones like art and music and dance and drama and acting and Heather, but let's think more subtly about emotional intelligence and about your ability to listen and about your level of empathy and about things that you just do well because of who you are, your spiritual DNA, as it were, right? What are the things that are just kind of easy for you? List four or five of those, okay? And don't be hesitant or shy. Remember, you've thrown off all those chains. So this is just an exercise in identifying some things that you do well that are kind of natural for you. The third list I want you to make is a list of five events in your life that have really shaped you. Often those are difficulties we've encountered, like I died in the summer of 2018, so about 6 years ago, almost 6 years ago next month. And I have had addictions. So I was a cocaine addict for a number of years. So that's an experience I had. And I struggled with depression for decades. Those are struggles. And I lived with that adopted persona of not good enough, which, you know, robbed me of creativity and all kinds of stuff that I allowed. I lived into that thing and adopted it because it was safe. So think of five experiences that you've had, and they can be good ones too, but it tends, the struggles, sickness, health, poverty, bankruptcy, divorce, betrayal, you know, those tend to make the most mark on us. Now you have three lists of five things. So here's your challenge. Sometimes those life experiences, group three, they ruin us and they create jaded, bitter, angry people that are, the world's not fair. If everything would be okay if this and that, if they would just die and get burned at the stake, I'd be happy. You know, we have those kinds of feelings about those that may have hurt us, or we may have them towards ourselves because of what we have done wrong or what we have failed to do. I've wasted all this time and I haven't taken good care of myself and whatever it is. I want you to take those five things and make a conscious choice. Are you going to let them ruin you or refine you? See, that's another choice, a decision. The first decision I talked about is I'm going to go and explore whatever it takes to get rid of all these barriers and create furiously from my best self. Now, we haven't talked about how to do that yet, but just decide. The second part of that decision is I choose to let all these hard things that have happened refine me. Ooh, scary. It starts with asking, what is the gift here? Because there's a gift in anything if you choose to find it. You may say, there's no gift there, that sucks. Comma, unless it doesn't. I got an email from a friend of mine this morning advising us or suggesting that we add, unless it doesn't, unless it isn't, behind everything that we judge to be negative. So make a choice to let those five tough things refine you, make you more loving, capable, giving, you know, make you more powerful. Just choose that. Now, here's the magic. Five skills, five gifts, five life experiences that you've now chosen to refine you. Here's what I want you to do. Take 2 hours. Figure out how to weave those things together into some offering you would make in the world. Maybe it's writing a book. Maybe it is the way that you do your, maybe you're a landscape architect, and maybe it's the way you choose to do that. It doesn't mean you have to go write a book and be a coach or create a program or an online business. You could, and often that drives you in that direction, especially because of the life experience stuff. But I want you to weave those three lists of five, at least some off each list, into something you know you would love to do, that would be valuable, and that excites you. Now, if you're having trouble, reach out to me, because this is where I am a world-class expert. I can help you weave those things together. Reach out to me and let's talk. Create your lists of five. I invite you to connect and let's chat, because that weaving, that tapestry will be a powerful tool, an invincible tool to help you create your ultimate life. Why? Open your
heart and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is your ultimate life. with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart.